B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Halftime. You know, are we overthinking this too much that it has to be star? Granted, they have the best shooting backcourt probably in history, but you can't just have perfection everywhere. Sometimes there needs to be a little bit more. I think Steve Kerr is a hell of a coach that a lot of us don't even realize.
Forget the best shooting backcourts ever. They're straight up one of the best backcourts ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not even shoot. You can take the shooting out of it and just say best backcourt ever.
You can't take the shooting out of it.
Wouldn't that shooting goes into best backcourt ever?
Yeah, right. Like overall. Shooting's a qualifier.
Right? Bobby, you're breaking my stones here, Bobby.
James,
think before you talk.
Bobby, you know this.
I can call you Bobby, right?
You can't
Bobby?
Take the shooting out of it.
Yeah, so we got that going.
We go into all that stuff. 610-632-0975. I'll tell you, listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter Dumpster to Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. Coming up in a minute, we'll speak to our very own Andrew Salchunas, ladies and gentlemen. Anthony in North Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Mark Farzetta, how are you, sir?
Good.
Anthony Camoach.
Anthony, what's up, Camoach? How you doing, buddy?
Mark, hey, I just heard the news. I'm on my way to work. I heard the news. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And hopefully another future Temple Owl.
Yeah. Well, you know. There's that. No, yeah. I hope she's a Temple Owl, too.
There you go, brother. What's going on, man? What's on your mind today?
I heard your conversation about the Warriors, and I got to say, man, I don't know that anybody can dethrone these guys. I think they're going to be on top for the next 10 years. Even if KD leaves, it's not looking like anybody can take him down.
Well, see, that right there is the ripple in the water, right? The fact that they don't have Kevin Durant for the Western Conference Finals, and they still clean sweep of their opponent in the Portland Trail Blazers, that, again, were playing very good basketball, fighting their way through the playoffs, and they couldn't fight through even one game with Golden State.
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the first quarter, and I saw Portland come out with a good start and then just fall apart, and I was watching mostly the Phillies.
I never really watched any of their games, but I watched last night, and I'm like, how is anybody going to beat them? Even if the Sixers would have made it to the finals, do you think they could have beat them? I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're stacked. I mean, they're absolutely stacked. I mean, the Sixers had some trouble with Portland even. So, yeah, just go by matchups alone. What, they split the season series. The one game they did win, they didn't have Klay Thompson. But, yeah, no, I don't think that the Sixers would have won the NBA Finals if they advanced out of the East.
And even if they get rid of Butler, dude, it's not looking too.
No. I agree, brother. Hey, Anthony, good talking to you, man. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Hey, congrats again, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, brother. My best to everybody.
On his post, before you get to Andrew, Brian Berkey on Twitter wants to know, is it any coincidence that all the show babies are coming after you started letting Trey bump back with all the sexy music on his bumpers?
That's a good point.
This is Trey's fault that we have children now.
Let me just tell you, it's no coincidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know I am a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio.
Right, well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
You guys want to be alone?
You're not into that stuff? You're not into your moon signs?
I wouldn't even know what I was if it wasn't for like a high school girlfriend telling me. Like, honestly,
it's all about you and your ex-girlfriends, isn't it?
Hey, when you got so many, bro. When you got so many.
Can't swing a big cat without him. One of your ex-girlfriends.
But Celeste is a Scorpio.
Yes, she is.
Uh-oh, look out.
She reminds me all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Believe
I'm pretty sure she does.
She showed me the knife.
Wincy, if you don't graduate college.
So we got all that. You know, it also around the same time as the Blue Chew reads. So you can put that.
Did Trey give you some samples?
I don't use performance-enhancing drugs, ladies and gentlemen. If anything, performance-hindering drugs.
Yeah.
It's called Jack Daniels. 610-632-0975. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new show here on 97.5 The Fanatic to help us get in on all the fine Phillies conversation. And that's a little show called, The Fanatic Baseball Hour with Andrew Salchunas.
It's baseball season, boys.
Fanatic Baseball Show.
The Fanatic Baseball Show.
Yeah, are we working on that?
Even more simple.
There you go. And it is.
I don't care about a name, Jamie. It's all right.
His name is Andrew Salchunas, formerly of The Morning Show. You jerk. But congratulations on the show. We're happy for you.
Thank you. And congratulations to the news regarding you and your wife. Now, I'm kind of scared being in here right now because
it's
clearly you're swimming right now. Jamie's swimming right now. And I'm about to be at the wedding date.
Oof.
So, and I still need some time.
There you go. Right, when is the wedding date?
November 30th.
So we're getting close.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
We're getting close, but there's something in this room where all of a sudden everybody's getting pregnant. I'm kind of freaked out. So I'm not there yet. All right.
Man, we get it in.
Bob, Trey, have you called Donna and Rosa?
This is what we do.
Right. You know? We make show babies is what we do.
We lay the wood, man.
Trey will show you, Andrew.
And speaking of laying the wood, the Phillies laid some wood last night.
Of course there's video.
All 22?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Phillies laid wood late last night.
Never lies.
I'm all about film critique, you know?
I'm trying to make a transition.
Hey, look here, babe. We need to work on this right here. Get a little bit more arch right here.
Launch.
Launch angle.
Launch angle. Launch angle.
Say arch or launch?
A little arch.
A little arch, but that leads to a launch angle.
Yeah, which leads to launch angle.
Which is also known as good wood.
Good wood.
Are we done yet?
There's so much more you added to it with the good wood.
I mean, about the Phillies. I can't help it.
We were talking baseball. What were you talking
about? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Monsters. We're going to be the parents of girls, Jamie. She's marrying Louise. What the? Andrew,
hi.
How's the show going?
It's going great, Mark. Thanks for having me
today. Absolutely. Fanatic baseball show?
Yes.
There you go.
Every day, 6 to 7, except Thursdays, because we have Cousins Corner with Anthony Gargano. So Monday, naturally. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 to 7, the Fanatic baseball show.
So you can catch it right here on 97.5, the Fanatic, taking you up until game time most of the time, right? So that's great.
Last night is the 8 o'clock start.
And back to the 7 o'clock start time tonight. Bada-boop, bada-beep. How do you like that?
Great.
Now, there you go. So, first off, they go into Chicago last night in the friendly new confines, essentially, of Wrigley Field. Jake Arrieta, I didn't know he'd be that loved in Chicago.
Well, think about it. I mean, they made a playoff run with him there. He won the Cy Young while he was there. So he's had some good moments, and he has incredible, incredible numbers. In 59 starts, now 60 starts. He was 30-14 going into last night, pitching in Wrigley Field with an ERA of 2.31 and a whip under 1. So think about how good that is in 59 career starts in Wrigley Field. So Arrieta pitched very well during his time as the Cubs in a Cubs uniform, and that's why he got that huge standing ovation yesterday.
About a 30-second ovation for him last night at Wrigley Field. It was pretty cool to see. Now, he looked sometimes shaky. His defense definitely helped him bail him out of a few bases-loaded one-out situations. One, Harper made the incredible throw. Earlier in the game, I believe it was the second inning, Cesar Hernandez made a heads-up play going home to get a force out. He was only down 1-0 when he only allowed the one run. He was up 3-1 by the time he left the game. When is it, do you think, that all happened? Maybe this will be the start, that Jake Arrieta goes back into not Cy Young form, but at least a dependable pitcher again.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's still reacting to the comments that he made about Bryce Harper, saying that the team didn't show up that game against the Mets. And then after that, he went 1-3 before last night. So he was really struggling after those comments. But before those comments, out of 8 starts, he had 6 quality starts. So he actually was pitching pretty well. I know we're not fired up about just quality starts because he did get paid a lot of money, and we're used to the Jake Arrieta, Cy Young Arrieta from his times with the Cubs. But he was actually pitching pretty well at the beginning of the season. And then he hit a month where he didn't pitch well, where he went 1-3, where the ERA was over 6. So I wouldn't be surprised. We're not going to see dominant Arrieta. We're not going to see complete games. We're not going to see complete game shutouts. I don't expect that at this point. But if you can give me 6 innings, allowing 3 or less earned runs, which is a quality start, I'll take that because the bullpen hasn't been that bad either. So what we saw last night, if he can give you that on a consistent basis, the Phillies have a chance to win every time he goes out.
I'll take that. But speaking of the pitching, what do you do now with Pivetta just getting, International League Pitcher of the Week? Vinny Velasquez apparently is getting ready to return. He's going to throw off the mound, I believe, today and maybe tomorrow.
Yep.
And then, Cole Irvin's giving you a couple good outings. So what's going to happen
here, Mr. Baseball? Bob, who are you going to take out? Obviously, you're not taking out Nola. Obviously, you're not going to take out Arrieta.
Well, it's Irvin is the guy. I mean, do you stick with him, I guess?
You can't take him out.
That's what I said this morning.
He's 2-0 in his
two starts. Don't be confrontational on your first visit to the morning show.
Andy's angry. I'm just saying, there's no place to put one of these guys. If I was to pick one of them, I would pick Pivetta, even though you guys know I'm not the biggest Nick Pivetta guy, but I think he does have better stuff than Velasquez. Velasquez can't get out of the third inning half the time. But there's nobody to take out right now. Eichhoff, I'm not sold on Eichhoff, but he hasn't hurt you so far. He's had pretty good starts since he's come up from AAA. Cole Irvin is 2-0 in his starts. You're not going to take out Nola. You're not going to take out Arrieta. And then Zach Eflin has probably been your best pitcher this season.
Right.
So there's no spot to really put one of these guys in there. It's not like Nick Pivetta is this great pitcher that you're just going to take somebody out for.
Is Eichhoff on a short leash then, maybe?
Yes. I would say that out of all of them, he has the shortest leash. And maybe until Cole Irvin gets figured out, who knows if it's because he's not figured out yet or if he's actually a very good pitcher. We don't know just yet. But 2-0 and 2 starts, I'm not going to take Irvin out yet. So like you said, Ike off the shortest leash, but he hasn't hurt you so far. And he went five innings again the other day, and the Phillies ended up winning that game. So you can't take anyone out just yet.
We're speaking with Andrew Salchunas, host of the Fanatic Baseball Show. You can catch it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's the deal with Pat Neshek?
I don't know.
What happened last night?
I don't know.
Was that the right move by Kapler to stick with Dominguez in there for another inning?
No, it wasn't. But you know what happens? Pat Neshek, he's a little bit of a baby. I'm starting to put together.
No, still?
We found that out last year. We're finding it out this year. And something I noticed when they showed the bullpen cam and they showed him warming up, he threw a pitch and he did a slight shake of the head. Like, after he threw the pitch, he shook his head. And right away I said, oh my God, this is going to be one of those games where he's going to tell the bullpen coach, listen, I can't go today.
Yeah.
And wow. I don't understand that. It's not like this guy's throwing 95 miles per hour. I know he had arm issues last season. I get that. But he's not blowing anybody away. He's throwing submarine pitches at around 82, 83 pitches, miles per hour consistently. This guy shouldn't have a rag arm. I know he's up there in age, but don't tell me that you can't go and then you have to keep this young kid out there who did pitch a great first inning, but statistically is not good in the second inning. Now, that's the problem with Gabe Kapler. He should not have taken...
But he threw 11 pitches.
Inning.
Like, when are these guys going to get over the mentality of, uh-oh, I'm going out for another inning, as opposed to, I only threw 11 pitches?
Yeah, but how often do you see that in baseball? Except for guys like Mariano Rivera or a long reliever, you don't see many one-inning guys go out there for a second inning. And because Gabe Kapler has extra arms in the bullpen and doesn't have as many bats on the bench, you would think you'd be able to go to these guys. I mean, last night he went to Adam Morgan for one batter when he had a lefty two batters later, so I didn't understand that decision either. Yesterday was the first time where I really scratched my head.
You hate Gabe
Kapler. No.
Almost as much as Mark hates Jimmy Rollins.
That is an untrue statement. Untrue.
How do you hate Jimmy Rollins?
Jamie hates fatherhood.
Stop it.
You've gone too far, Bobby.
I don't hate Jimmy Rollins. I just think that he stepped on T-Mac the other day during Harper's Home
Run. It was actually a very good call.
It was.
Tom McCarthy made a good call. I wish that I could have heard more of it.
It was just a reaction from a fan.
It was a reaction from a fan.
It made me feel like I was one of the players.
I felt like I was right there.
Me too.
I think Jimmy's doing a great job. I think J-Roll's doing a great
job. He's doing a very nice job.
But yes, last night was the first time I really scratched my head with Gabe. I don't hate him. I didn't like the hiring to begin with. I did not. Full disclosure, I did not. And last year, he didn't really make me feel any better about the hiring. This year, he hasn't screwed up at all, except for last night. Last night was the first moment where I said, dude, come on. All right, what are you doing here?
Well, look at it first, okay? If we look at first here. Last night was the first time I saw Gabe Kapler frustrated for something not related to an umpire.
Right.
That was the first time I saw him look back in the dugout like, are you kidding me? Neshek can't go here? And then how do you know that at that moment, the moment you actually need him? How are you just finding that out?
Well, that's the problem. First of all, you wait until he walks the second batter to call the bullpen.
Right. You should have had somebody up going into that inning,
right? As soon as he walks the first batter on four pitches, that's when you have to make the call to the bullpen. What he did wrong was he walks the second batter, and then they showed the camera to Gabe Kapler, and he starts screaming to JT Realmuto to go out there, go to the pitcher's mound and talk to Dominguez, because we need to get somebody out, or get somebody up. And that's when he calls up Neshek. Now, Neshek, they should have known before the game started whether or not Neshek could go or not. Right. It shouldn't be a moment. I get it. Sometimes you throw a couple pitches off the mound, your arm doesn't feel that great. But then you're putting yourself in a bad position. The Neshek's putting Gabe Kapler in a bad position, but Gabe Kapler made the mistake himself waiting that long, because once Neshek says, I can't go, you're already too deep into this crap that you're in, because you got two runners on and you got another lefty up the bat in Descalso.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me ask you this. I'm talking to Andrew Salchunas here. We got three more games left in this schedule. They're left in this series in Chicago. If you could pick one thing that you want to focus on, one thing you have to see before this series is over, what is it?
I need Rhys Hoskins to get out of his slump. One hit in the last five games, two hit in the last seven games for Rhys Hoskins. He's your catalyst in this lineup. I know Bryce Harper is the big name, but Rhys Hoskins, for the first part of the season, has been the most reliable guy. He's been getting on base a lot. He's been hitting a lot. He's hitting home runs. He's hitting doubles. He's doing everything this season. And if he's going on a slump, now the good news is you have other guys in the lineup that can pick him up. Bryce Harper has picked him up during the series against Colorado. JT Realmuto picked him up yesterday. But if you can have 3, 4, 5 hitting consistently against good teams, Hoskins' slump so far has been to the Brewers, to the Rockies, and to the Cubs. Brewers and Cubs are two very good baseball teams, and now all of a sudden Rhys Hoskins is slumping. I need to see him step it up against some of the elite teams in all of baseball, and when he does, it's going to help the lineup out even more. So that's the thing I got to see the rest of this series.
All right, speaking with Andrew Salchunas, host of the Fanatic Baseball Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Every day of the week other than Thursday with Cousins Corner, 6 to 7. Finally, before we let you go, Andrew Salchunas, say something in Lithuanian.
Labas, manavad. Thank you.
What was that?
Labas, manavadas, ira, under Salchunas.
There you go.
Hi, my name is Andrew Salchunas. Call me on the spot.
There you go, fella. There you go.
That's I don't want to say it. It's not the prettiest of languages.
why you gotta hate?
Sounds like he was sneezing.
It's one of the romance languages in Lithuania. Did you not know that?
We're also pretty close to Russia, so come on now.
Very good. Andrew Salchunas, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. You'll be with, of course, middays, obviously.
Yes.
Andrew, you were the best guest we had today.
Is it the only guest you've had today?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
My mom called from a bagel shop, so if
that
counts.
That's true. So I'm second.
You'll be second.
Congratulations again.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Andrew Salchunas, ladies and gentlemen. Good stuff. Listen to the Fanatic Baseball Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock weeknights, exception of Thursday when you got Cuz's Corner going on. 610-632-0975. And I think that's what we'd all like to see, because it's weird seeing the Phillies win and Rhys Hoskins is slumping. Like, we got into this yesterday. How are the Phillies a first-place team? How is that possible? Right? And you want to see Rhys Hoskins do better. You want to see him break out a little bit. But Bryce Harper, he had a long slump. Gene Segura was out a while, and the team struggled during that time. Scott Kingery, for the time he's actually been in, has been one of your best hitters. And it's been brief, but he's been one of your best hitters. Where do these wins come from? It's not like their pitching has been lights out. And the answer is they're just getting those timely hits. JT Realmuto's come around again. He hadn't hit a home run since April 26th, as we pointed out yesterday. He's now got two in his last two games. Like, all of a sudden, you start to see this team click a little bit. This was a big measuring stick going into this series, as we got into yesterday with Jason Stark. Trying to take on a team like the Cubs at Wrigley, an upper echelon team in the National League, you wanted to test yourself against them. With a loss last night, it feels like a gut punch, especially because you had a 3-1 lead in your back pocket and you blew it the way you did with stupid mistakes. You want to see them come out with at least a split in this series.
Yeah. And then last night went a long way towards that. And it's a great question, Mark. Why are they winning all these games? You don't have that guy with 15, 16 home runs. You don't have a pitcher that's just, 7-0 and lights out. You don't have somebody among the league leaders in hitting. But what you do have is like really good professionals. And I brought this up before. You have two strikes, two outs in the ninth inning, down a run last night. Andrew McCutchen is up at the plate. He's 1-2. Or I'm sorry, he was 0-2, and he sits and looks at four straight balls, two of which were so borderline. I don't know how he even took them. Mm-hmm. One a check swing that you said he couldn't.
He definitely swung.
All right, works the walk. The Cubs were one strike out away from winning that game. He gets the walk, and then boom, Segura comes up, base hit, tie game. Like, they've done a lot of the little things throughout the year that have let them go on to win games in an unspectacular way, but win nonetheless.
That the Cubs have a stacked lineup. But then when you actually see them paraded up there at bat after at bat after at bat, and you see so many guys with at least 10 home runs. They have four guys with at least 10 home runs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the lineup you're competing against. That's the lineup that Jake Arrieta more or less corralled last night. And, he had a lot of help from his defense, but he was able to get out of those jams. A lot of credit to him for that. He could have blown up. He could have given up the big hit, but he never did it. Last night, he really came through, and you were waiting for him to have a start like that again, and he finally did it. The other guy that I feel like has really solidified himself now, because especially when you have someone breathing down your neck, a hotshot prospect that they already paid, Scott Kingery, Cesar Hernandez has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a challenge to an athlete, Trey. You know you got that guy over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped up. Over the last 21 games, he's hitting near 400.
Yeah, he's definitely taking advantage of the situation. I mean, he's using that pressure to motivate him and fuel him, and he's making some really good plays.
He's made some dumb plays in the field, but he has been making up for it at the plate.
A lot of them made some dumb plays out there. So, he's getting mixed in with the bunch, but, overall, his bat has been alive.
Yeah, he's saying basically that he's finally found his swing. He feels as if he can get comfortable at the plate now. Now, he's not a guy that walks a lot, but if you're getting on base with hits, then you can move runners. By all means, get on base with hits. No need to be particular here. This could be a series that, we look back. yesterday on the Rocky series after coming off that sweep. Maybe it was the moment where everything figured it, where they were able to click and figure it out, whether it was Jake Arrieta, whether it's Aaron Nola finally pitching in decent weather, and supposed to have good weather again in Chicago. It was cold
after
last
today,
night.
I think today's supposed to be like yesterday, and then tomorrow it's supposed to break better.
Do you see Pink Hat Guy? The pink hat guy at Wrigley?
No.
The guy that wears the pink hat so his wife knows he's not out cheating on her?
Oh, right. I didn't notice.
Yeah, Pink Hat Guy had like two hoodies on yesterday and the pink hat on top. Like, that's hysterical. But everyone there, Ben Davis was talking about how he's got to put on his winter coat out there. Oh, it's May, we'll be fine. Nope, not a chance. He got to put on that winter coat. But Aaron Nolan's supposed to warm up a little bit for him.
So he has to wear a pink hat to show his wife?
So that she knows that he's not cheating on her.
Yeah, the guy's been a season ticket holder for like a million years, and he has always worn the pink hat. Mm. He's in vision. He's like behind the batter and the catcher and the umpire. Mm. He's behind home plate, and he always wears a pink hat so that his wife knows he's there and not out running around with some floozy. Mm. You ever heard the story?
You got bad weather in Chicago today.
Oh, it's not a good one today either?
It's raining all day up until about 2 or 3 o'clock, high of 48. Yuck. Who wants to play baseball in that?
Nobody. Zach Eflin's going to be out there trying to get through the muck.
He's got a deal.
Trey, you're stuck on Pink Hat Guy.
I mean, you know, it just seems like there's a history. For you to have to go to that extreme?
Yeah, I would say he probably got caught.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I never thought about that.
He went to a White Sox game instead.
Right? I mean, it's not
that's
like
where his mistress goes?
Out of nowhere, she's not going to be like, well, I need you to wear a pink hat so I can see you.
Well, you don't know. There are ladies out there that, you know, are a little possessive.
Yeah.
They're called Scorpios. But I never thought about it. You usually think of it as if it's a sweet story about a man trying to be faithful to his wife. But you're taking it the other way. Mm. You're like, well, what was he doing before the pink hat?
Yeah. But anyway.
Sam, where do you stand on the pink hat situation?
I kind of missed it, I'm not gonna lie.
Pink hat guy at the Cubs game wears a pink hat so his wife knows he's out not running around on her.
Oh, well, that's weird.
There we go. See? Sam's a nice lady. She expects nothing but the best from her fellas. See that? Fella. Excuse me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there you go. That's, and he was wearing that over the hoodies yesterday in the right behind the bat, what do you call it? Home plate. Right behind home plate, he's rocking that out.
Okay.
Will he be there the next three games, I assume? Does he go to every single game?
Just about.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes to a heck of a lot of games. Mm-hmm. I think this story really came into, the popular culture when the Cubs won the World Series. Because that's where everybody saw, national TV, all that stuff. And everyone saw him there and go, well, what's the pink hat guy? And they're like, oh, no, pink hat guy, pink hat guy. And then telling the story, and everyone's looking at it like, oh, that's so sweet and nice.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, wow, this guy's a despicable human being.
He's a dog. This guy's cheating on his wife for years.
This guy's into some sick stuff.
Yeah.
Now you have somebody that looks like him that puts on the hat.
Yeah.
I was there.
And meanwhile, he's down with the Boston Dangler, flying around.
You know, getting his crack tickled.
Fly tripping.
No, that's Mark.
Come on. Anti, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. We'll give you another maybe candidate here for a tool of the week, but we do have to tell you about the Fanatic deal of the week. Get a 2019 Victory Golf Pass for only $29 with Fanatic's deal of the week. Gain access to over 300 of the region's best golf courses, including 25 private courses at all. Huge savings right there. And check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your Victory Golf Pass before they're gone. Supplies are limited. Coming up in a minute here, we'll let you hear that JT Realmuto home run from last night and the absolute laser throw from Bryce Harper as heard on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And, you know, we got some good news in the NFL and the NFC East yesterday with Carson Wentz. Ian Rappaport putting out the story that Carson Wentz, no limitations beginning today at OTAs. I'll be down there. I'll judge for myself. And then we'll let you hear some of the bad news from the NFC East, but it's a good news thing for the Eagles, at least. Time of the Fanatics, 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Sam, let's get an update on our Window Nation Twitter poll. If you're looking for windows, shop windownation.com. You can take advantage of Window Nation 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION.
This morning we asked, what are your early expectations for Carson Wentz? An MVP caliber season, a solid season, or still recovering? We have just under 2,800 votes so far. And it's remained the same somewhat. 51% say MVP caliber season.
Oh, went down a notch.
Yeah, but 41% still say solid. So yeah, 8% now say solid.
Ah, come on, people. Those are the pessimists in the world. I still say solid, and I feel like some people would paint me as a pessimist for that, but I'm still saying solid. Trey, where'd you go?
MVP.
MVP caliber.
That's
Bob?
Right.
Yeah, I'm there. I think the health will be back this year, and I think we're going to see special things again.
Trey, Jamie, where are you at?
I think he'll be more of an MVP than anything else.
Wow.
I do.
See, the only reason I hold it over from last year is that he thought about the knee all throughout last year. He admitted to as much after the season when I asked him about it. And then he went on to talk about how the back was still an issue. Now, I don't think it's been as big an issue. And Trey, you're right. All the evidence that you put out is correct. My only issue is that the team wasn't acknowledging that the guy was going to be okay. And as Ian Rappaport released yesterday, he'll be full go at OTA starting today. Yeah. Like that, I can't wait to see that.
I can't wait either.
Full go.
He was full go last time at OTAs around this time. He was out there throwing the ball, going through all the drills. Everybody's, oh my God, look how he's moving through the bags.
It was.
He's throwing the ball. Oh my God, he can throw the ball 60 yards.
You know what's crazy? When I watched Sam Bradford, remember when he was a quarterback for the Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
When I watched Sam Bradford coming off his knee injury, what was it, his third? I was looking at a guy and I was like, he's not going to be ready. There's no way he's going to be ready. Like, he looked like he was like arming everything.
Didn't look good, yeah.
There was no like snapping of the hips. There was no follow through on his throwing off the back foot, being able to plant his foot and all that stuff, and trust his knee. Mm. There was none of that. Carson, and I watched and understand it was the MCA and LCL and MCL. ACL and LCL. Excuse me.
It was torn knee.
Yeah, so it was all torn up. But
it was the two torn
ligaments. So it was a little bit of a different injury, and I'm watching him, and I'm going, oh, my God, he is more than ready. He's mm-hmm. going through all the stretches. He's going through all the drills. It was just a matter of when he was going to take contact, and then one day they had him out, and look, it's practice, and they're wearing red jerseys. They're not going to get contact anyway, but he was out there in the red jersey, and it was full go all around, minus the quarterbacks, per usual, and he said that Doug Peterson took him out. He said, no, we're not going to have him do that anymore. They didn't like the bodies falling at his feet.
And also, too, when you have it like that, that means that your offensive line cannot get challenged the way they need to, because you have a quarterback that's trying to beat the heel up, and you don't need one of these young DNs beating one of your guys and falling into his legs.
Mm-hmm.
So then now that hurts not only your quarterback, but it also hurts your offensive line because they don't get challenged the way they need to be.
Will we ever see a big adjustment with Carson Wentz where we see him play some, I don't know, as safe as possible type of football?
I don't know.
Really? It's possible that he could evolve?
I think that he is going to wising up. Like, he's going to get rid of the ball. I think that he's going to learn how to slide. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure he's watched all of his games and like, all right, you know what? Maybe this is where I can save myself a couple times. And I think you're going to see a bit of a difference.
Because there is a fine line between what you talked about earlier, Trey, in that being that like a cavalier, being like that dog guy that doesn't want to quit on a play. Okay, but if you watch 15 of the plays that you don't quit on, but you don't throw the ball out of bounds or you don't go down and you lose yardage, that's a dumb play.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's dumb.
You're hurting yourself.
I'm sorry. It's second and eight, and you're looking to throw, and you're looking, and then you take a three-yard sack, and it's third and 11 as opposed to that's not smart. So we all know Carson to be a smart football player. Giving up on a play sometimes is smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got to learn that.
Or taking a big hit and making an incomplete throw. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let alone the physical toll.
Holding, here comes a D-tackle bearing down on you, and you wait and you jump to throw it, and now you're getting crushed into the ground, and it was still a bad pass.
I would never, ever, ever tell Carson to duplicate stuff that Eli Manning does.
I know. I hear
but
you on
watch
that.
What Eli and Peyton did when they were about to get whacked.
Yeah, they got rid of the football.
They got rid of the football, and they learned how to fall and not kill themselves.
By the way, were you referencing the Eli picture?
Was that Sam or
Sam
Jamie?
Sam tweeted it at me, the double Eli face.
That's pretty good.
It's phenomenal. It's Daniel Jones, the new rookie quarterback, and Eli doing the, back-to-back kind of like Batman Robin throwing drill.
Yes.
And they both have an Eli face. It's exquisite.
Yes, it is exquisite. That's a good way to put it. So it
belongs in a museum.
Big group of idiots up in New York, North Jersey, whatever. So they're not looking too good. So we get the good news here in Philadelphia that Carson Wentz, full go, OTA starting today. Good to see that. Thank you, Ian Rappaport. We'll get more explanation about that from Adam Schefter when we talk to him tomorrow at 8 o'clock. He'll also have the news, as we released earlier today, that Malcolm Jenkins not at the practice facility today. And once again, because it is this time of year, the word voluntary applies, and voluntary, of course, means it's optional, more or less. You volunteer to do it. You don't have to do it. So we have to define that every single year.
He asked me to volunteer for work. I'm probably not going to do it.
That's a good point. I agree with you. Especially if there's some other guy named Landon Collins.
We have.
What?
Well, we have.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I liked it.
What?
Working for free. I mean, we've all done it at some point. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's voluntary.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
But if it was scheduled on a day where it's like, hey, we expect you to come in.
You're like, I have a tea time that morning. Sorry.
If you know the date for a while, odds are you'll be here. But nonetheless, you have a little contract dispute right now, it seems, as it's being assumed with Malcolm Jenkins. When you see Landon Collins, Jamie, as you pointed out, making some big bucks in the offseason, you're a team leader, you're a safety, you also play the linebacker position for this team, essentially, you want to get paid.
Yeah.
So this is his
play
little...
every position for this team, basically.
Yeah, this is his little, draw attention to himself type
you
of thing.
You can thank Andy Reid and the Redskins for this, for overpaying their safeties this offseason.
And special teams.
Yeah, so which is amazing to me that he still plays special teams.
Yes.
As important as he is to the team, they can't find somebody else that can be like a gunner.
And Trey, you summed it up rather well. Nobody's paying attention to this any on the team. No one's looking at this as a distraction.
No, not at all. They're like, all right, hey, he's not here. And, you know, you probably get asked a couple questions about it because you know how reporters are. And then you just take it from there.
Now, the other part of it, so that's the bad thing surrounding the Eagles right now. And if even if you want to call it a bad thing, he's not there. You'd rather have him there. Whatever. The other part of this around the NFC East, and you just mentioned Washington, Jamie. Reuben Foster out for the year. Big running back acquisition that they made.
Linebacker.
Linebacker.
I know you.
Big acquisition that they made to help him out. And they are not going to have that guy trying to plug up the middle of the field when it comes to guys like Miles Sanders trying to run up the middle, Booby Sanders, Ezekiel Elliott, and Saquon Barkley. Big loss for Washington. And they were hoping for the best when it came to Reuben Foster being able to help him out. A little bit of a problem. And then another NFC East rival. A little bit of an issue for there. Turns out to be nothing major. But Ezekiel Elliott is at a concert in Las Vegas and is seen not anything bad. It is a TMZ video where he's trying to block his girlfriend from leaving the concert, it looks like. He just stands in front of her. Doesn't raise his hands to her or anything like that. But then gets into a little bit of an altercation, not even a scuffle, maybe a little altercation with a staff worker at the concert who's like event security, where he is having a conversation with this man and then starts to back him up a little bit against the bike rack and maybe a little shoulder thrown into the guy, and Ezekiel Elliott knocks over the security worker over the bike rack. He then gets handcuffed by police and then released. Never got arrested or anything.
Yeah, the guy didn't press charges.
Nothing like that.
But he clearly learned a lot from his 6-game suspension.
Well, that was for a different reason, obviously.
Well, yes, but it was mostly for stupidity.
Well, yeah, true. That's what the suspension was for. But he also, I'll give him this, and it's stupid that this is what we even have to acknowledge. He knows who he is. He knows his track record. He knows what people know about him or assume about him, whatever. He doesn't raise his hand to the woman. Like, his girlfriend, he just kind of tries to walk in front of to block her out.
But he could have very easily just avoided the security guard altogether.
Yeah, I don't know if that's him. I don't know how the security guard got involved. I would assume
he probably saw her either raising his voice or getting, you know, somewhat, you know, rammy.
That's what I would assume. But
and
I don't.
He was
don't
probably
know.
Like, "Yo, bro, why don't you relax? That's a lady."
Yeah,
and
who was probably was like, "He's talking to me. I'm talking to my. I look like an Ewok."
Fishnet shorts.
So our butt cheeks were out.
Butt cheeks out. G-string. You know. And the security guard tried to walk in to save the day.
Yes.
Not knowing that you're dealing with a man with a LeBron James jersey on and a fanny pack.
What if he said to him, like, hey, with your Ewok head ass, why don't you pick on somebody your own size?
Yeah, and then now he's over the rail.
Yeah.
Because that security guard would say, I think there's a security guard over there that's about your size. Because that security guard was not his size.
No, he's a little fella.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a wild, wild day yesterday with some news in the NFC.
I still believe that her butt cheeks led to the argument.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah.
There was something that happened.
It didn't help.
Well, you have to think, if you see the other people leaving the concert, you have to know that your girl's going to go to the concert dressed something similar.
You would think.
Did they have a conversation beforehand?
Maybe there were glow sticks that we didn't see.
What do you think? They met at the concert?
No, I don't know.
I think they're leaving the place together. He knows what she's wearing.
Chances are it's your basic white cottons, but it could be something I don't even know about.
It's something new, you know?
I don't know. The way he was walking around, it could have been something like her saying, look, dude, you're drunk. Just get out of it. I'm leaving. You get home yourself.
I'm not drunk. I'm an Ewok. I'm fine. Calm down. I'm calm. Right, that never works.
Yeah.
But that's, I would have thought that it would have been about her lack of bottoms.
Yeah. I would think that's a leading culprit. Yeah. His drunkenness is the other.
Yeah, but you
grinding his teeth, just, you know.
That Molly these days.
Yeah, man. Oh, you know, God. Just out of control.
All right.
Just raging.
Never know where that conversation is going to go. All right, coming up in a minute, I promise this, we'll get to it here. JT Realmuto's game winner from last night, and also Bryce Harper with the laser to help save the game for the Phillies last night. Time at the Fanatic, 9:42.
All right, let's go, Phillies.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. In case you missed it last night, it was one heck of a Phillies win. I hate the fact, obviously, they lost the lead, but they fought back. And you know what? It just felt like they couldn't lose that game. Like, come on, you're not going to lose this game, really?
Good character win.
Yeah, exactly. One of those types of wins for the Phils, for the fighting Phils, the definition of their name last night. Arrieta was able to get out of that bases-loaded jam, one out in the second inning. Faced another similar situation in the fifth inning. And in case you missed it last night, here's the play-by-play of it. It's called by Tom McCarthy on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Harper fields a ball hit from Almano, I believe it was, in right field, and then fires home to get Anthony Rizzo in a one-out, bases-loaded situation to get out of the inning.
Moore hits one out toward right field. Harper makes the catch. Rizzo's tagging, coming home. The throw to the plate is... in time! On the fly from Bryce Harper, and Anthony Rizzo is nailed at home plate.
And you had a great play from JT Realmuto. Ben Davis, of course, a catcher in the broadcast booth with Tom McCarthy, pointing it out as well. Going to reach back and make that perfect tag to make sure they got out of that inning unscathed.
That's a nice athletic play. Went up the line, caught the ball, did a little pirouette.
By the best catcher in baseball.
Best catcher in baseball. First time you can say that about a Phillies player.
It's great. We've had some good catchers.
Is there anybody in the early 1900s we're looking over?
Squeaky O'Houlihan was one of the best ever. He had a 500 on base percentage.
That was when Puddinhead Jones was at third.
Oh, Puddinhead Jones?
Yeah. That is a great nickname. Because that one's real, right?
Yeah.
There was a guy, I want to say his first name was Squeaky or something like that, that played... in like 1915 or something like that. Because I'll go back over and baseball reference.
Read go down that box score from 1912.
Yeah, go down that rabbit hole. And we're like, man, this guy had a home run. Led the league.
Was there any Farzettas?
There were no Farzettas in the country yet. Dude, 1915.
I did that baseball. First time I looked at baseball reference back, you know, when you're a teenager and stuff. Bob Cooney pitched a third of an inning for the St. Louis Cardinals or something. Yeah.
No, I can't do that. Like, our name literally got changed when my family came to America. So, like, even what it was, like, is not
mine
even...
mine, too.
Trey wins.
Yeah. But you look up a phone book, you see Thomas is left and right. Do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have... No. But... Yeah, okay. But no argument.
Right.
So anyway, there's zero transition, Nick, even from anything else we've talked about. It's easier to transition, but I hear what you're saying. No Farzettas in the country for that either. Anyway, so...
just so we're clear.
Just so we're clear.
My family line was not even here.
Yeah, not even here yet. Not a part of it. Now, check up Cooney. No, just kidding. If you look, totally derailed me, Trey. Got to give you credit there. But the other thing was the home run from JT Realmuto. So he had an RBI single earlier in the game in the sixth inning that tied the score at one. Then later in the sixth, Cesar Hernandez hit the two-run triple. Cesar on fire. In the 10th inning, though, JT Realmuto got you what would be the game-winning home run.
1-2 to Realmuto. That one's hit well. Out to left center field. Going back on it is Schwarber toward the wall. Gone! Home run, Realmuto, and the Phillies take the lead. His sixth home run of the year, and it's time to celebrate. You're wearing red in the bleachers.
Normally, you're like, oh, thank goodness we didn't lose. But because of the way they came back in the 9th and 10th inning, it made you feel like, oh, yeah. Like, you already had the feeling of, okay. Like, the relief came from Gene Segura tying things up in the 9th inning, right? Mm-hmm. And also Andrew McCutchen not striking out. So that the relief came there. The victory, the celebration, the spiking of the football, if you will, came right there with JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm. That's how you close it out, fellas.
That's right.
How about that? Let's get a final on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, what are your early expectations for Carson Wentz? An MVP caliber season?
I think Sam blacked out there.
Sam was still stuck on Trey's comment.
Sam's leaving. That's why. Her head's already on
the
flight.
Is that your last day?
Yeah. until June 3rd.
So
that sounds a lot.
Take your time.
Okay. So this morning we asked, what are your early expectations for Carson Wentz? An MVP caliber season, a solid season, or still recovering? We have just under 2,900 votes today. 51% said an MVP caliber season.
All right, well, it all starts today at OTAs. How about that? All right, let's get into our takeaways of the day now. Sam, go ahead, lead us off. Now, on your getaway day, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is happy show baby number 2.
Oh, there we go. Thank you very much, Sam. Appreciate it. In case you missed it, yes, my wife and I are expecting in August another show baby. There we are. Busy time. Jamie Lynch, take away there.
Well, first, I'm excited that baby Skylar will have a counterpart near her age that we can, that I have a father I can, mothers that can drink together and have our babies play together. That's so that'll good. Be very cool.
Wow, we're killing it as parents already. So wait, you're pregnant too? Oh, drinking time.
But my real takeaway of the day is JT Realmuto, you have officially won over Philadelphia already in a short amount of time. And it's nice to have the best catcher in baseball in a Phillies uniform.
You're darn tootin'. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is while you two parents are drinking, Jenna Cooney is available for babysitting duties. I am her manager, and you can call me for references and for a pay scale.
Well,
I was going to say, what's her rate, Bob?
Yeah,
I don't know if I want Jenna. Based on a text earlier today, I don't know if I want her around my kid.
She might hate my kid just by
default.
No,
she'll love your kid. She just hates you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So take
the tension when Jamie came over the other day? Oh,
I cut it with a knife.
Palpable.
So I heard. Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is, man, I knew you guys were close and cool. You and Jamie, you guys have history, but my God, I did not know. When you can have babies within a couple months apart, that just shows you.
You make a fun
like minds think alike.
Trey, I think your sexy music is the reason for all of this.
Hey, man, I just try to help when I can.
Putting that vibe out.
Yeah, really. Throwing the fun vibe out there.
Man, hey, there you go.
I am going to use this as my takeaway of the day. Tristan Holman, I believe is how you say his name. Tristan, here you go. Takeaway of the day. Jamie's daughter and Mark's child that's on the way are going to see a lot of Philly titles in their childhood.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Tristan, thanks so much. We appreciate you tweeting the show. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The Fanatic.